Welcome to MSP 1337. I'm your host, Chris Johnson, a show dedicated to cybersecurity challenges, solutions, a journey together, not alone. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of MSP 1337. It is already time to publish this particular episode, but in order to capture the fireside chat with Matt Lee, we had to run a little after hours. So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, man. We do it. We do what we have to, don't we, brother?
Yeah, we'll squeeze in the time when we can from one hotel to another. In fact, this is probably the first time in a while that I've been the one in the hotel and you're the one
in
the office.
Yeah, I'm in my studio. Yeah, exactly. Right.
So I did pack the microphone for the listeners so that my voice sounds somewhat similar to normal, but we are doing this from a hotspot, so bear with us as we could have some glitchiness. I could end up in my techno voice. We are on Control CIS Top 18 Control 12 Network Infrastructure Management. We already started talking about network infrastructure before we even got to talking about Control 12 already today with my challenges here at the Marriott.
sure.
So, Matt, talk to me a little bit. Like, give me the high level. I think this is one that I would argue that most solution providers, this is a control that one would hope that they are particularly keen on. This is an area where they've spent a lot of time and energy over the years helping their clients develop and build out appropriate network architecture so that they can be secure. In fact, I would argue that before it was a approach of security first mindset, it was a, how do I ensure QoS for things like your VoIP phone
and streaming
of videos, et cetera.
Exactly. What's interesting is I like to talk about Control 12 in the before, like a BC and an AD type model. And what I mean by that is, like, there was the old walled garden mentality of supporting traditional infrastructure, which is I have a network. It is defined in the RFC space for me to have private IP addresses.
Right.
Those private IPs to varying degrees are segmented into multiple VLANs that all meet through firewalls and then ultimately leave this castle and go out the front gate past the moat. Like, that was the common infrastructure. And a lot of Control 12 is about that world. It's living about that life. Like, it's talking about things you have control over.
Pre-consumerism, really, right? Like, these things come to you already in a box that's on doing some of
and
these
pre-COVID,
things.
Right? Yeah. And really pre-COVID and pre-modern companies. Like, think about why we had that type of infrastructure. We built servers. We built VPNs. We built line of sight communication connections for crappy line of business software.
Right. Now they had to be able to see each other. They had to see each other.
Yeah, they had to have line of sight. Yeah, exactly. And so, but now we're in a world where I'm working at a Starbucks. Like, what am I going to do on Control 8? Hey, Starbucks, like, do you mind sending me the logs? Right, my buddy Chris was over there working for about 4 hours, so I need the logs from 3 p.m. Have you configured WPA2 to the adequate standards? Have you? Those just aren't possible.
And I would like a latte, and I need to print 6 pages out on that printer.
A latte and your ARP dump, right?
Like,
I need a latte log file package and your ARP dump.
And so with sprinkles.
With sprinkles, please. But the reality is, I like to just remind people that a lot of this conversation in 12 is speaking from the lens of a traditional infrastructure. When you start living in a world of ZTNA and SASE, right, Zero Trust Network Architecture, or Secure Access Service Edge, or VPN type extensibilities and cloud models, when you start living in that world, and then some of these controls become less relevant, different, changed, shared responsibility delineations, things that are really awkward in how this has to be looked at. So I just want to start
relevance
with that.
I'm just going to throw relevance out for, not throw it out, but I think to your point about relevance, I think it's the lenses are different while trying to address some of the very, I don't want to say same, but we're shifting in what's as, it's not as important, or there are things that now are
just different.
It's different.
It's a different paradigm. This is not an evolutionary delineation. This is a bit of a revolutionary delineation in my mind in the things that are changing in our world. So that's what I would just kind of start with. Let's go through the controls, though, and talk about it. What is the purpose? Control 12 as a premise for its overall starting point is establish, comma space implement, comma space and actively manage, which then has further delineation, parenthetical denotation of track, comma space report, comma space correct, space network devices, in order to prevent attackers from exploring and exploiting vulnerable network services and access points.
Which so, is funny enough, I think of access points as kind of being a part of that, like somehow they've got their own like delineation away from being part of that network infrastructure. Like, oh, and the exception here, we have an access point. Like, you should also treat that with some level of
kid gloves. Well, and what's weird about this too, is you can show more, if you look at CIS 4, 4.1 says configure all this stuff, but not network. And 4.2 says configure network. So they've really focused on, you can tell, what used to be the most predominant ways of attacking an organization, and still may be today for a lot of brownfield holders.
But I mean, the volume game, sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and so I think something else to point out. Let's clarify something. I think there's something really interesting about this control that we don't see a lot of elsewhere. It creates sort of an exception here. It says if you are a small SMB, here is a completely separate set of guidelines for you that you should go and explore before tackling these safeguards.
How so?
It literally says, for telework and small office guidance, you should refer to the CIS Controls Telework and Small Office Network Security Guide before you get into the safeguards.
Which, breaking that down from the enterprise piece, right? So
yeah.
I love the guidance. If you're not reading those components and actually getting into that, which to your point, it's right there in the bold before you get into the safeguards, you should, because they give you some of that context awareness of what you're about to stumble into, right? If that makes sense.
Yeah.
It also feels like it's a bit of a tack on as well to this of, oh crap, this is changing. And I'd be very interested to see what network security layers look like as recommendations in the kind of post-COVID era version 9 model as we go. Like, what is that SDP or software-defined perimeter?
Yeah, do the rules change a little bit now that we're dealing with a more abstract? Like, it's just not clear. There's no more black and white.
Well, here's the best way to say it. Phyllis Lee said this best, and this is an oldie but a goodie, so I'll just go way back to like 3 years ago. Phyllis said, your network ends where your users' fingertips land.
Right.
And you start getting into this understanding that it's much more consumption point oriented and much more identity oriented than what the former statement would have been, which is, I can protect this castle because I got guards walking around on the walls and ain't never, what's that horse doing in here?
Right. You used to have one castle that you needed to remote into to access data. Now you don't know necessarily where the castle exists.
You don't even own the castle sometimes, right? You're going to somebody else's castle, right?
The guardhouse. Like, I didn't even know this was here.
All right. We've burned enough of everybody's earballs for this. So let's get into the safeguards.
All right.
12.1. This is the only IG1, y'all. This is the only implementation group one. Update your stuff. I think that's how it says in parent phrase definition.
Yeah, I think that's the message?
Yeah, that's the distilled what? Ensure network infrastructure is up to date. Ensure, that's a measurable, right? Ensure is, I need to show that you actually did do that, that your network infrastructure is kept up to date. Example implementations include running latest stable versions, or using network as a service offerings, like your Meraki's and your other physical layer type network as a service offerings. And review those offerings monthly or more frequently. You know how frequently? As often as there's a pure freaking 10.0 on my damn network equipment, right?
Like,
that's the how often.
Yeah.
You
mentioned Meraki and some of the players that are in that space, Arachnus, there's a few others.
Sure.
I would argue even Cisco's now really shifted that direction of that, you know, with the Meraki model a little bit. I think what's interesting here is it used to be that someone that did do this level of depth in network management, we all remember the good old days of like you had to literally hook up a console cable to have the management interface for a switch. That is not for every, you know, solution provider today. No, I don't have anybody that knows how to do command line on Cisco Catalyst switches. Like, this isn't necessarily easy stuff, which I think is a good point to make out, like that, hey, you may not have the resources internally to truly manage network infrastructure at the switch level, at the firewall level, on some of those things. And it's important that you have the right resources in place.
But cloud services scale that so much better, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's where and why those type of players, and really even if you look at the macro environment. You have WatchGuard Cloud, you have FortiCloud, you have, right, you have all these players trying to do similar things.
One config that I can push appropriately to multiple switches in different zones and not overwrite configs.
Or maybe accidentally plug in an old switch to a new with VTP on and maybe blow up an entire network for Sierra Nevada Corporation. Let's just
Or put a patch cable into two ports on the same switch and I forgot about spanning tree.
You're gonna spanning tree loop. Yeah. No, never. It made the packets faster.
That's right. Anyways, that's right.
So control 12.2 is, and really y'all, is if you're not doing patching on this, there's a reason they felt the need to go ahead and step out. Like, why is this different than 7? Patch your stuff. Why is this different? And it comes bound to because practitioners weren't doing it. Practitioners aren't doing it. Patch your switches and network equipment, because if I land there, I'll probably have a home there forever. Okay.
All right, number two.
Have a secure architecture. And what's interesting is when you go back and look at controls earlier that talk about architecture in general, 12.3 is saying have segmentation as a minimum, least privilege as a minimum, and availability as a minimum.
So like we're going back to 5.6 right now, 5 and 6.
Yeah, 5 and 6 on some of that identity aspect of it, right? But really when it comes to a secure network architecture, 12.2 is the first time you really get into this segment, really pull this data apart, have different segmentations. But if you look, 12.2 goes back to data access control list being a part of that conversation from 3.3. 3.8, documenting data flows. That architecture has to be part of that. 3.7, data classifications come from architectural decisions or vice versa. Encrypt sensitive data in transit has to be part of an architectural decision. So 3.10. 4.2,
I have an argument question. I have an argument question. I think in 3, do we not have a space where it calls out needing to have a diagram that articulates data flow? It actually recommends having a 3.8. Diagram for that?
Yeah, 3.8 is document data flows, and it's
a diagram. So thinking about that and realizing that we haven't got to network diagram in this control yet, and yet those two, they like what good is my data flow diagram if I don't have a network diagram to go with it?
That is why it is 3.8, and so we're later in the threes into the IG2, IG3 compendium. So at least you're hoping that this 12.2 falls before it if it's IG3. But you're right. I haven't looked at that. But they do this a lot where you'll have these things out of order or call to something that you're end up going to be really specifically called for later that had to have existed before in order for you to do, let's say, 3.8 with a data.
But in fairness, we're talking about if we look it through the lens of IGs, the implementation groups, that it would be fair to say that you may have gotten to this point and now we're going back to enhance.
Well, because we're now saying you have to make sure that you address segmentation, least privilege, and availability, which might not have been part of just documenting the data flow the first time. Now it's a, oh, wait a minute, I'm going from non-secure to secure or secure to non-secure. That's a problem, right? Let me tell you how this would play out.
Right.
Microsoft logged stuff from a secure area that included keys being used for their signing. They logged that into a non-secure area. A data flow diagram would have shown a crossover from a secure area to a non-secure area of data that needed a sanitization layer, right? Or needed some segmentation of access, things of that nature. So, you know, that was in the signing keys aspect. But anyways, 12.2 is make sure you build this with POLP, principle of least privilege, availability and segmentation in mind if you're building architecture securely. So that's in architecting and designing. 12.3 then gets on to securely manage it. Like, don't use insecure crap. Don't use Telnet. No, swear to God, don't use Telnet.
I know.
Plain text. I swear, it really matters. No, I'm not kidding.
I know you're not. I know. I wasn't meaning. I didn't mean to be. It's funny. Not haha.
I know. I tease. But the point being, this is really getting into use SSH. And if you're using SSH, maybe use keys with passwords, not passwords stored in credential files, right? Use HTTPS. Don't use HTTP. And it really just gets into a lot of the things that say use secure, you know, infrastructure management.
Right.
So anyways, 12.3.
It didn't always start out this way. Like, we're talking about security that has come as a result of the evolution of threat actors, right? Like, we didn't start out with port 443 as an option when browsers first came out, right? Like, we didn't talk about like, oh man, you gotta get a lock on that browser. Those weren't like, we were happy to have a browser. So I think if you think about some of the things that are in place today, we're still dealing with the legacy of more than 20 years of layers upon layers of technology.
Well, you and I just had this conversation. Here's a great example, which they're talking about the management of the infrastructure using HTTPS. Well, let's turn it on its head. You're at Marriott. You can't get on their Wi-Fi because they haven't updated their cert for
Right.
HTTPS. And your organization has a stringent policy that says we're only good with valid certificates so we
Right.
can prove the site is the site. And you can't then get on the Wi-Fi, right? And so what my
Right.
point is, like, you've been put in a position where someone has set up HTTPS but not managed it and
Right.
maintained it to the extent that you're now not capable of, and you're either having to make a Sophie's choice of lowering your own capabilities and protections, which I've had to make that choice before as a
Sure.
professional, right?
Well, we've
Or
all been
just
here, right?
not.
We, you
Yeah.
know, think about self-signed certs that we did for years because, hey, this is just my local stuff. I know it's me connecting to this firewall, you
Right.
know, and now we're seeing where like even that is not a good security best practice.
100% not. And managing PKI extensibility or doing Let's Encrypt type management and scalability or, scripting, those are type of solutions for those type of things, which really should be a part of this conversation in the lens of
Absolutely.
12.3, right? Is how are you going to manage these more and more ephemeral certificates? Okay.
Next
So, and there
one.
are other maybe other means, right? That's actually something to unpack a
True.
little further too, is I could do other things. Like I could use other methods of PKI, other methods of proving my identity. I could use, like I said, SSH
Yeah.
certs. I could use
Right.
other things that are mine that are possession based, also in that way. So, okay, side tangent aside. 12.4, establish and maintain architecture diagrams. So it goes back to the point you were making, which was
Yeah.
3.8 is already talking about data flows, right? And as we get into 12.2, we're talking about needing to take configuration of my segmentation, all these design elements.
Right.
And
Things that
now
would
finally
factor in.
12.4.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now we're drawing it, boys. Now we're
Right.
drawing
Like this is like we're giving you the numbers, we're giving you the colors associated with those numbers, but
Right.
we haven't
Here's
yet
what
given you the
red
shape.
tastes like.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's orange. Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Oh, God. Okay. Well, now here we are. We need to make a diagram. And then there's two things that are highlighted here: establish and maintain. And for your reference, Chris, I'm looking at the placemats we're about to release that you and I helped
Yes.
build for this. And establish and maintain are two things. One is, did I establish it? Do I
Right.
actually have an architecture diagram? But then also, if I look at this diagram, is it like Matt Lee's ugly 5-year-old drawing of my mom where she's like, yeah, honey, I look so pretty, but it looks
Yeah.
nothing like her? Or is it actually a picture of my mom, right? Or,
Right.
one and the same, I suppose. But the
Well, and
point
I
being,
think, I just think I want to add something there. You know, I think network diagrams are often one of the most overlooked thing as I've seen, and as people are going through the trust mark, like, hey, yeah, it's important that you have one. And they're like, well, we've never
why?
had one before because we're all work from home. I'm like, okay, so maybe your diagram isn't that complicated, but I'd love to see it.
You
Like,
know why it matters?
I know why it
Why
matters.
does
I
it
was just,
matter?
well, you
Why does
tell
it matter?
me.
Why do I care?
Well, because it might be wrong.
That's true, but why does that matter? Where tactically and
Sure.
operationally do I give a shit about a architecture diagram? Where does it matter? Where does it come up?
Well, I think one of the places it comes up, and you see this a lot with like things like PCI. So if you're dealing with like credit card, point of sale type stuff, I think it's not always that obvious until you put together that diagram that you may have
Where else?
devices that are not going in the right place, right? Your
Where
VLAN
else?
might not be segmented. What?
Where else? There's a big one,
Oh.
a big one. And I'll share it. I won't make everybody wait in suspense anymore.
Yeah, because obviously I'm not as smart as I used to be.
Oh no, you're absolutely accurate in the visualization. There's an extensibility of it that matters even more.
Okay.
That's during an incident.
Oh,
When you are
sure.
trying to determine how do I contain and
Right.
eradicate this incident? How do I stop its damage? How do I determine how big the damage is? How do I determine who gets involved? How do I determine what my reportability right responsibilities are? How do I determine those things? If I don't know what connects to what and how it looks and what it
Right.
does visually, it'd be like a general operating with no map, but only painting in their head where the enemy's positions are relative to mine.
Well, this kind of
That's
gets
a
into like
problem.
flat networks versus more of like the complex VLANs that are segmented by types of
That we've
service
just asked
sensitivity.
for. Right,
Right,
that we just
right.
asked for.
But
And
we
so
know
now you got to be
that
able to see it. It's
a flat
complex.
network in an incident scenario, it's like too late, right? A flat
All
network is
done.
like it's just you hit it all at
Yeah.
once,
But
right? But
segmented at a time. Yeah.
the flip side of that could be just as bad if you don't have a diagram that helps articulate where things go.
100%. 100%. And that's my argument. Having a detailed and accurate, up-to-date architecture diagram is the only way I would fight a battle as a general, is to know where the positions are, to know the obstacles between me, and know which segments I need to say. If I know that Sally's computer went off, in your point, in a flat network, and it's anywhere within line of sight, because guess what? Flat network means everything's in line of sight of a domain controller or a data holder or something with it with sensitive
Except
information.
Except I'm at Starbucks, so.
That's true. I'm already seeing line of sight of Bill's computer.
That's
but the
right.
point being is that I have this line of sight aspect. In a segmented network, I may not, which means I'm playing a game with the threat actor of saying, it went off on Sally's computer. I now believe something may have moved forward. And we had this conversation off air, right, about your friend.
Yeah.
So the point being is having a diagram helps you in the moment, in the battle, and it's really, really valuable, but it is only valuable once you know you need it. Okay.
Yeah.
This next one helps to aid the battle too.
Yeah, I was going like to say, kind of piggybacks.
A lot of 12 when it comes to the model of networking, which these same concepts I joke about the network being different, these same concepts apply when you're in cloud. They just now are under ZTA or shared responsibility matrices or things of that nature, but they're still the same thing. So I'm beating it up, but they all still common. So let's look at 12.5. 12.5 in my mind is probably that one that is the most valuable during a moment, during an incident, and also in how I run my day-to-day operations of finding those incidents, which is centralizing AAA, authentication, authorization, and auditing into the same identity framework and plane, which means I'm extending 5.6 as an identity of Matt to an identity of the authorization and authentication principles being applied at the network layer, meaning I'm now, before I get a network port, actually validating that I'm Matt, and we'll get into that in port control. But
well, and it kind of gets into like you're following where Matt's going.
Yes, and I know that's Matt, not some brand new device that's on the network. And this is tough, and this is why this is so valuable, is if you centralize this principally, you now are actually bringing the unified identity plane together with the unified device and asset plane from that authentication authorization. And the most valuable is the freaking auditing, bringing it into one plane where I now have a common normalized response of where Matt and Chris went in their nefarious adventures in this organization.
Which means that you can flag it when that doesn't look like it's the normal path that Matt or Chris would normally take.
And it also extends, I draw in my drawing that I'm going to be releasing to everybody that's listening to this, three different types of lines.
Number one?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Three different types of lines. There are dotted lines, dashed line, or dotted lines, straight lines, and then there's this blue line, this bidirectional. This is a unique one because 6.7 is bidirectional. It feeds as a data source when 6.7 says centralized access control. Well, now we have a control in 12 specifically speaking towards access or authorization, which is the byproduct of or creation of access, right? And so 6.7 being centralized, now we're saying all the way down to the network layer, authorize. Well, let's talk about how that correlates in a pure cloud world. Well, now if I'm on a SASE vendor, I'm principally signing into that VPN with my cloud identity.
Right.
So I am bringing the centralization of that AAA layer out to that new definition of a network that is this much more undefined network structure that we speak about, right? That private internet access and those type of movements and motions we're seeing going. But it also brings that auditing plane for the identity and the sign into that network device back to that same 6.7 and 5.6, right? So just kind of want to paint that 12.5 is the 5.6 and 6.7 compendium, in my opinion, is 12.6.
I mean, I think that to some extent, for those listening, we may have actually gone down a rabbit hole on level of nerdiness as it pertains to safeguards. That being said, you know, when we talk through the safeguards and you hear Chris and Matt banter on some of this stuff, largely what we're trying to get across to anybody that will listen is that there is a relationship, not just between safeguards within a control, but within safeguards throughout the control mapping across all 18 domains. So when we refer to these other controls, it is an opportunity, if you're listening, to make a note and go, hey, I should maybe go back and check my work. Maybe I should go make sure that I did capture what I thought I did. If you're in fact on control 12, this is a continuous improvement process. It's not a one and done process. I like to say, we always say checkboxes are bad. I'm going to disagree for a second and say, if the checkbox is referencing an activity, That's probably good because activities, they just keep coming. And I hope you can check off activities all day long because that
Well, and
means
I
you're
hope that
continuing to go through
checkbox
it.
goes back away when it's not need when it needs to be checked again.
Exactly. That's
To your
right. It
point, it's
comes
more
back because
ticket
the activity
management.
keeps coming
Yeah,
back. That's right. This
And then
isn't a
it's great
static
because we are
task.
checking off. Well, you know, you think about it. I joke, but have you ever seen post office people scan a box on the side of a wall and then drive off? Like literally, that's all they're doing. They're checking in on their route. They're checking in to set timestamps to show that they made the route to do the
Right.
things that need to be done. Like there's some element in those tickets that's valuable in that check-in,
Sure.
is my point, right?
And I think it's the exercise or the activity is definitely merited. It's not the end goal, right?
Yeah,
The
that's
end
correct.
goal is
That's
it,
correct.
how can I
I
make this
validate and
go
prove that I
away?
did this.
That's not the validation we want. It's that I get the element of work complete or as complete as I can at this moment, this juncture. And I think that's what's important. Like I don't want to discourage people from thinking that checkboxes are entirely bad, especially if you suffer from it like I do, where like I will
So
write a
big
task.
checkbox got to you,
Yeah.
didn't they?
Yeah,
I
like,
saw
oh
big
no.
checkbox reached out.
I'm gonna
Two
tell you
more
right
horse
now.
heads.
Yeah, no. I'll tell you right now. If you said, "Hey Chris, I need you to do something," and I go, "Oh yeah, I already did that," but you know what? I should write that down so I can check it off.
Man, fair. All right, back to the controls. Okay,
Yes.
so 12.5 said centralized AAA. But
Yep.
now 12.6 says two things in one, which we said we're not going to do,
Yeah, we
but
really don't
let's
like this
unpack
one.
it. Yeah, because it's got a EG in there, which EG does not mean ergo, right? If I remember correctly, EG actually, what does it actually stand for? I can't do this because I got
The
corrected, if you remember correctly, quite well.
EG is
EG.
in this particular case, I think it's referring to example.
Exempli gratia, which means for example. And so it's meaning
Yes.
to be exemplary in that discussion, not this is exactly what it is.
Right, and
So,
it's giving
but the,
two very
yeah.
specific different
Different things.
two
One is
different
WPA2.
protocols.
One's WPA2, just
Right.
basically stating wireless or wired protected, or it is
It's
WPA.
Oh man, that personal
Nope, gotta get it now.
private. It's
WPA.
this. Oh
I
man,
know
wireless private
WEP
access.
was wired equivalent protection, but what's WPA
I thought it was
stand
privacy.
for? Works. No, that's not it. Hold on.
Uh-oh.
Wi-Fi protected access. It's a self-described an acronym. I hate you so much. Okay, fine. Wi-Fi protected access 2, which now WPA3 is out as a standard. So WPA2 was called for in 8.1. That's talking about the type of standard chosen for the encryption algorithm, basically for me and my access point protected session, right? So how people cannot spy on me. But what's interesting is 802.1x is a different type of protocol. It's speaking towards authentication and
Yes.
validation of centralization of AAA. So this is a little bit of a muddy control
So one
that's
is
just
only going to be
checking
for
two.
wireless, right? Like one is only related to wireless. The
Whereas
other one can be.
802.1x could apply to a port, a physical switch, right? A
Right.
physical port switch, yes, and other usages. So
Correct.
the point is, they've kind of muddled a couple things together with examples. But the core control says use secure network management and communication protocols. And what they're really saying is, if there's a more relevant and up-to-date standard, you
You
need to
should
use
use
it.
that one.
Because WPA2 is not probably the standard I'd go to now. It'd be WPA3. And so you start getting into that difference. So anyways, just wanted to call that one out on this one,
Yeah,
is use
I like
secure
it.
protocols. Use that. Take the spirit of this one, not the example used.
Exactly.
12.7, require users to authenticate to an enterprise VPN and authentication services prior to accessing enterprise resources. And they're saying to use your AAA infrastructure, which means using SolarWinds 123 probably isn't what they're talking about here.
But this does go back to, I believe it is 6.3, 6.4, 6.5. The different multi-factor authentication kind of gets into this same thing, right? Where it talks about using MFA with your remote access to infrastructure via VPN.
It's six,
Kind of
three,
goes
four, and
hand in
five. You
hand.
nailed it.
Yeah.
Yep, 100%. But the point is, even then, I could use MFA and my VPN and not meet the spirit of this control.
Exactly.
Because the spirit of this control is actually to tie it in to my central AAA infrastructure, which means my central identity source. And it does not mean some third-party MFA jank app that I use with SolarWinds 123 and a shared username to get to the VPN infrastructure. They're really saying the same thing of, I don't care where you're coming from, make sure I know it's Chris. That's right. Here,
it's not just plug in and get electricity. It's I want you to run an extension cord from the office to wherever you are so that I know you're getting power from our office.
And I know that it's you, and I know that I can attribute it to you. And right. The extension cord doesn't really solve that because I'd have to know that you're plugging in next to Chris's desk and that Chris's desk was where we're tracking power.
I guess I was trying to create the mapping physically to say, like, this isn't just about getting connected to the office. Yeah.
It's about knowing who you are. And right. That's why it says users to authenticate and then authentication services. That's twice on there in that safeguard. So, all
right. And we see this common, right? This is common in the VPN space where you have a device that you have keys that allow you to VPN to get authentication into the network. Yeah. But if you don't then add the check, that validation to check in with your central managed identity server, then all I am is a device that's connected to the network.
Exactly. And that is how you would distinguish devices and identity. And when you really start getting into zero trust and ZTNA, that's almost a premise of that. I have to know who you are in that SPA or single packet authorization before I ever give you access to anything. In fact, even then I don't show you what you have access to necessarily. Right. I may only let you access it if you know of it.
So this last one is interesting.
Oh, bro.
So hold on. I want to set it up a little bit because
you do it.
There's 8 safeguards in 12. This is only IG3. This is the only IG3.
It's also almost unobtainable.
That's where I was going to go the next thing. You took my thunder away. I was going to say it. Nobody can do this well.
Nobody does.
Let's talk about why and maybe talk about the spirit of this control, because I think in the spirit, I think there's a lot better chance of achieving something close than if you just try to verbatim take it for what it says and do exactly what it says.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what it is.
Yes.
So have you ever seen that movie where they lock this bloke or blokes in a basement? They have this weird dude that comes on the PA and tells them to do horrible things until they get out. Saw. Anyways, that's what we're talking about here. Not the movie, but a secure administrative workstation, right? We're talking about a SOA. Did you like that little whole journey we just took?
That was nice. I'm not sure I'll ever watch TV again, but thank you.
Thanks. So we're talking about a secure administrative workstation. And what the control specifically says, or safeguard specifically says, is establish and maintain dedicated computing resources for all administrative work.
Saying it because I think that's kind of important here. How many of us do administrative things all the time?
And so you think about this and it says now that would mean there's already an immediate paradox when it comes to local administrating machines, because now I have to be an admin on a machine I'm administering. Let's just touch that one first.
It's like looking in the mirror on Zoom.
Yeah. Notwithstanding, there is the other challenge of what they're really wanting you to do is make it to where what I do administratively not only lives on a separate account, but on a completely separate device that I can treat differently, that I can put higher restrictions on, that I can restrict higher, that I can remove internet access from. And in fact, this says physically or logically separated for all tasks requiring admin access. The computing resources should be segmented from the primary network, back to that initial definition of network, and not be allowed internet access. All right. And so you're getting into some things where you're saying, I need a box that I can get onto that I do admin functions from so that when admin functions are done, they're done from a non-anomalous location where something is not exposed to the normal attack surface. If I hit it with a malware, it can't reach out to C squared. It has no internet. You're giving yourself constraints to limit the function and the moment of the action, where I use the weapon to one place and one time. Well, one space, right?
And I'm going to throw this out there because I obviously are realizing that this is near impossible in many cases, especially for from a financial standpoint. We're talking about an expense to just have hardware dedicated to one job and one job only.
Yep.
But that gets me thinking about things like if you can do that, whether it's virtually, like it talks about, or physically.
Or logically.
Or logically. Right? So
logically virtually.
Yeah. So but like along those lines, I would think of like my starting point would be like, this is not attached to my domain controller. This is not part of like, I've added some segmentation right there by not having it be able to just talk to, you know, AD. The layers that you can remove would help, but do we get...
And documented.
Yeah. But do we get far enough? Because here's the thing. If we talk about removing internet and my entire infrastructure lives in the cloud, then what problems have I introduced because I'm saying not connected to the internet?
Redefine internet, right?
Fair.
What I really mean is this untrusted space not needed for administrative functions.
Got it.
So
okay.
I would have access to the things specifically needed. But let's also, I will tell you, I've solved this. I've solved this at least to the bell curve, to the 85%. Here's how I solved it.
We're all getting B's and F's until Matt puts the grade on the bell curve.
Shut up, fair. It's fair. So here's how we did this at Iconic. We bought a separate workstation that we put at every single client site that lived on its own VLAN. It had access to whatever internal crap it needed to access, and it had access to whatever external crap it needed to access. But it was otherwise locked down with very limited internet capabilities.
Sure.
It was locked down. And I then had the ability to say, I'm on my machine at Matt Lee's work. I'm now remoting into the machine in which I'm doing admin stuff.
Sure.
They had red
it's
background.
Like a jump box.
It gave you a jump box. And that's my argument is that is a method of restricting the beginnings of this from a admin function. And it might have to be AD joined. I might need that
that's
for
fair.
Our stat or other things. But I can define how I segment it, how I separate my identities. And that's just getting to that point. You could also do things like virtual desktops, WVD in that identity, signed in under that identity at that identity plane. There are ways to solve this that can be met.
And not to judge this control, but it gets me thinking like just how, 6345 breakout, the different MFAs tied to different access types. I can see taking this control and doing something very similar where you say external SaaS-based applications, you know, making sure that you're not giving, you know, Matt Lee and a normal user profile admin rights to log in to SAP, right? This is very much along those same lines because at the end of the day, you don't control that network environment. You don't control
5.3, right?
Right. Accessibility. Right. So yeah. I think that very much we can see that the evolution of this control is going to change. It has to, because like you said, it is borderline near impossible to achieve. It can be done, but at what cost to a much smaller organization that not following what you've just described as a way to do it would be potentially financially expensive.
Yeah, I think that it comes down to what degree am I natively in the cloud?
Right.
Right. That's one way this helps get easier. And if you are in that situation, me buying a $20 license for Matt Lee Admin,
sure.
A $50 monthly SKU for my cloud VM, and I would sign in from my same physical asset to that third-party cloud resource to then do Matt Lee admin-y things.
Right.
And so you get into a point where that's $70 a month per person just to have those admin capabilities if they're needed.
Right.
And there's also this other lens of, you know, when you think about the MSPs listening to this, there's the Matt Lee at my company.
Put the hat on.
And then there's the Matt Lee as a representative of some extensibility to your company. That might be in the form of some crappy admin password I've saved in IT glue.
Yeah.
That might be an extensibility of the Matt Lee real identity through GDAP or other extensibilities.
Right.
But the point is, it gets even weirder when everything you do in that role of Matt Lee as an admin to your company is Matt Lee, whose internet facing account for Matt Lee's company is the attack surface.
And now you just
more of a challenge.
You just described where I was going to go. The user that gets popped now pops all.
Right. That's the real challenge. And you and I have discussed this at Trustmark, which is what's the most valuable asset an MSP has? It's their access to their clients, which means it is the summation of all of their clients' risk that they have placed themselves in the line of to varying degrees based on their access to their client networks.
Well, and an easy example of that, and we didn't have the technology for this for a long time, but like go change the local admin password on every endpoint in every client environment. And then also have it not be the same password as each other machine in that environment and reasonably manage that. Well, today we have lots of technologies that help solve for that we didn't have 5, 6 years ago.
And all those techs have done is helped make people feel more comfortable. They're doing something they don't fully understand
Truth.
at all, if I'm honest. So they're good and bad in that same right.
Well, there you have it. We just, went through perhaps one of the
More
most,
controversial?
the words that come to mind are almost legacy when you think about
Yeah.
post-COVID. Like, we don't live in four walls with a firewall box anymore. With like, oh, we
Starbucks, I'm gonna
got
need
two
you to step
egresses.
up that segmentation, guys. Like,
Yeah.
I'm really disappointed right now.
Also, do you care where I put my printer? It needs to be wired in.
Oh, so good.
The
So
printer
good.
with the WAN port. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I
Oh.
don't understand why my printer just keeps spitting out random documents from these different companies. For those of you listening and you want to print to my printer, you just need to go to chris.printsomewhere.com
Oh no.
and it'll just kick it. No.
That's fun.
Matt, as always, I appreciate your time. For those of you listening, this has been an episode of MSP 1337. Thanks and have a great week.